This is a meeting of House Fisheries, and we will come to order at 10:03 a.m. in room 120. Welcome, everyone. Please turn your phones off or at least silence them for this meeting. Today is Tuesday, May 2nd, 2017. Members present are Representative Eastman, Representative Tarr, Representative Fansler, Representative Newman, Representative Christ Tompkins, Representative Chenault, and myself, Chair Stoops. Let the record reflect we do have a quorum to conduct business. We are also joined by Kelly Burnett from House Records, Tom Raymond from the LIO, and of course, what would this committee be without my committee aide, Reed Harris. Today we are hearing House Bill 231, an act relating to the Alaska Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission and providing for an effective date. We will be hearing this bill and holding it today. We have here with us Leslie Riddle and Nancy Such from the administration to present the bill. And I see they have already come forward, so great. If you would state your name and your affiliation, please, for the record, and then begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Leslie Riddle. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Administration.
And I am Nancy Such, Deputy Director of the Division of Personnel and Labor Relations.
Thank you. And it would be helpful as each of you speak if you would identify yourself prior to speaking. It makes it easier for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So today we're talking about HB 231, the Alaska Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. It's a bill dealing with the personnel in the commission. I am not a fish expert, so please don't ask me any fish questions if you don't mind. We do have some people here who might be able to answer some more specific questions like that, but I'm here to talk about the personnel end of the commission. So on slide, look, it would be one if I put the number in the paper, but first slide. The Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, the CFEC, is a regulatory and quasi-judicial agency. I think you probably know that. They're tasked to limit the entry of participants and vessels in the commercial fisheries, issue and transfer annual permits and vessel license, adjudicate appeals and actions, denials and transfers, study and analyze and report on the economics of the fisheries, ensure reliable and timely access to data, promote the conservation and sustained yield of Alaska's commercial fishery resource, and assess demerit points or suspension privileges of permit holders for convictions of violations of fishing laws. So what this bill does, HB 231, is it will change the compensation for the three commissioners of the CFEC. You probably know there's two right now. There's three slots, but there are actually two people in the slots right now. Right now, the commissioners make a range 27. And this bill would reduce it down to a range 24. The way it would work is the commissioner's pay would go down to the 24 in whatever step they were. So if they were at a J step, for example, 27J, it would drop them to a 24J. And then they could keep progressing on the regular salary step as it would progress along. This puts them at a similar level of other adjudicatory, I shouldn't try to say that word, agencies like OAH and other people who do similar type of work. The other thing it does is it removes the CFE staff from exempt service and assigns them to classified service, so from exempt to union service. The way you do that is our Division of Personnel would go in and they would look at each position and they would do a classification study on that position, talk to the person about what they do, and then they would assign it a step that's similar to a step already in the classified service. So you're an executive secretary over at the commission. They would find a similar, talk to you about what you do, make sure that really is what you do, and they would assign it over into the classified system at that whatever range that was typical in the classified system. The staff, so let's say I was a staff that was a 15 over here at the commercial fisheries, and my position got reclassed down to a 14. I would be frozen where I am, and the next person that came in would start at the 14A. If I stayed at the commercial fisheries position, when that 14A caught up to me, then I could continue to progress along. So that might take us, it depends on how far apart they are when you start. But if I quit, the new person would start at the new classification level. So that's how that would work. So that's being frozen until the pay catches up with you. The staff would then be represented by probably the supervisors union or the GGU union. Actually, probably not confidential. I just put them on there just in case, but most likely it'll be GGU or SU that actually ends up being the two unions that would represent.
Are you GGU, I was going to ask you to specify.
Sure, sorry. SU is supervisors union and general government union is GGU. And so based on the classifications, right, Nancy, that's how we would figure out what union they would be a member of.
And Representative Chenault seems to have a question.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. How many employees are we talking about?
So right now, this I believe they have about 19 staff in the the staff, not the commissioners, 19 or 20.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Welcome.
Thank you,
Leslie. Glad to see you again. So with the 19 staff, now I was just going through this and making my notes here, so it's good to run this. So the 19 staff, what's their, do you know their pay scales and where they're at on that? Can we get that list?
Through the chair, Representative Newman. Yes, I could get that for you. I don't have it off the top of my head, but I will get that for you. I don't want to make a guess.
Okay. If you would provide that to the chair, then we will distribute it. Thank you.
Follow up, Ms. Madam Chair.
Follow up, Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Riddell, so then with that, why is the decision made? Because you're going to lower the commissioner's staff but not the personnel. If some of those personnel are very high range, you're going to stay that until the pay scale catches up. What was the decision or the discussion that went on of why to go through that process instead of lowering them, their pay scale?
Through the chair, Representative Newman. I think just there was a similar move that happened a couple years ago. It was Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. It just was really disruptive to the staff when they made the switch. The staff weren't necessarily, they were sort of just there, and they had made this step change to them. And so it just is to help hold stable the current staff and not penalize them for something they have no control over, basically. But I do think with turnover, we'll see savings. I know we'll see savings probably with turnover.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And with the other information that they're providing, if they could provide if they're at Tier 1, Tier 2 levels, so we could see that too. We don't know. I'd like to see the longevity of the people there. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Certainly, if you provide that as well. Thank you.
Sure, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Representative Eastman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, through the chair, now how long has the commissioner position been vacant?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, there was an appointment in 2015 that was rejected by the legislature, and so that was, I don't know how long it had been open before that. I could find that out, but I do know that there was a person that did not pass.
Follow-up, Representative Eastman.
So if we're now multiple years with a vacancy, I think the implication might be that it's hard to fill that position. Why are we now reducing the salary of that position if we can't even find someone for the current vacancy? Can you help me understand that?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, I don't think it's that we can't find someone to do the work. I think it's finding someone that the legislature wants to approve. I don't know that it's hard. I think they probably will try to fill it in the near future.
I think in addition to that, Representative Eastman, there was a freeze put on by the governor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, if the legislature is not willing to confirm them based on their qualifications, I would say that we haven't found somebody yet. So we need to find somebody.
Thank you. If you continue your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the savings for the commissioner would be about $78,733 a year. We don't know on the staff how much it'll save because we don't know what they'll be classified to until we get in there and actually study what they do and see where they'll end up. So we couldn't take a guess really at that. On the next slide, why is HB 231 needed? The commission's caseload is lighter. decisions have dropped from a high of 105 in 1998 down to 3 cases in 2015 and 0 in 2016. That's not to say the commission's not busy. They have work to do. It's just that the decisions, the caseload has been lighter. And also to save money, it aligns, like I said before, it aligns the commissioners to a similar range of similar positions in OAH and other hearing officers, and it aligns the staff with similar positions in classified service across the state. It's really an efficiency and a budget cut, budget saving move as well. The budget on the next page, the admin services director from Fish and Game is here if you have deep questions about the budget. But as you can see, they have reduced their budget. I know they're reducing their space. Our department is helping them to reduce some of their actual lease space by almost 1,000 feet, I think. And they have reduced positions over the last couple years as well. And the last page, this is not meant to be ironic. This was a mistake. They do have organization, and they do have an org chart, and I can send that to you, and I'm sorry that that's a blank. That was obviously a mistake, but that is my fault.
Thank you. I have a question for you.
Sure.
How many positions or PCNs are there available that are not currently being utilized by the CFEC but are still on the books?
Through Madam Chair, I think I need to get that information for you to make sure I don't give you the wrong number, so I will get that for you.
Okay, I would appreciate that. And along with that information, I would like to know if they intend on transferring over these open positions into the new classifications, or if they will be eliminating them.
Madam Chair, thank you. I will find that out as well. How many are not filled, and whether they'll transfer those not filled ones.
Right, what their intent is. Okay. Further questions? Representative Chris Cummings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Going back, I guess just 2 slides. I was realizing, Commissioner Rydell, that this isn't your bailiwick per se, Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission or adjudication of limited entry cases, but this is a question that I've always wondered and never quite gotten an answer that I feel like I understand, which is why have the decisions from CFEC basically bottomed out most recently at 0 per year?
Representative Christ-Tompkins, I think we're offline. I don't think that this is up their alley. We will be having another hearing on this, and we will be having the commissioners here, and I think that would be an opportune time to address those questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You're correct. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. I just saw it in the PowerPoint and thought I would ask.
Representative Chenault.
Thanks, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, just looking at the fiscal note, if we have not had 3 commissioners since 2015, I would suggest maybe they look at analysis of the fiscal note. My numbers would show that ballpark there would be about a $52,000 savings since we don't have 3 commissioners. Madam Chairman?
Yes. I think, Representative Chenault, I agree, and I think that also involved in this is the LBNA audit that affects us, but I think, again, we're going down a different road than the presentation we have today. Not that I disagree with you, Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Representative Eastman.
Yes, through the Chair. You mentioned GGU and SU. Can you give me the numbers on how that breaks down?
Through the Chair, Representative Eastman. I think until we do the classification study to see exactly what each person is doing, we won't know. Am I correct, Nancy? Mm-hmm. We won't know which union they'll be in until we figure out their classification.
Follow-up?
Follow-up, Representative Eastman.
And you mentioned not knowing necessarily who is at what level, but do you know what the highest level is that we're talking about that would go into a classified service?
Sure. Representative Eastman, sorry, through the Chair, Representative Eastman. There are permitters, there's IT, there's executive secretary, there's researchers, there's economists, And I know the org chart is not there, so I will get that to you today so you can see what the positions are specifically. Does that answer your question?
Oh, I was looking for the highest one. Do you happen to know that?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, I'm guessing it's probably the executive director.
Thank you.
Besides the commissioners.
Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And is there a time frame on the study, how long it's going to take to do the study?
Through the chair, Representative Chenault, it can take about 6 months. Once, if the bill passes, then we'd get started on it.
And Madam Chairman, probably just a comment more than anything else. I have seen some of these studies where they've done these cost studies, and actually it has increased the cost of providing those services versus decreasing those costs. So I would just be interested to see where we end up with that.
Right.
Through the chair, Representative Chenault, you're correct. There's not an inception that everybody is working above their class. There might be some that are working below their class, but just eyeballing it, we think there probably are more that'll go down than up.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Mm-hmm. Further questions from this committee? Representative Chenault.
Madam Chairman, if I may ask you, I know that we're going to have CFEC come before us, and you said the commissioner was going to be here, or one of the commissioners, or at least
not,
one.
Not today.
No, not today, but
right.
At a future
yes,
meeting.
Yes, we will have both commissioners here.
And maybe I'll ask Leslie, or I'll call the commission. I just had some questions on permitting and cost of permits and things like that, and I know these ladies are not who have probably, but have that information readily available, so I'll talk with the commissioner on it.
Certainly, and if you'd like, if you would jot your questions down, then we can supply them to the whole committee. So the next time we meet, we will all have this information.
There you go.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there other questions from this committee? Seeing none, we thank you, ladies, for the presentation, and we'll be seeing you again, as I've mentioned several times. So, and we will let you know that, and we will be setting this bill aside, and I appreciate it. I failed to mention that we have Sylvan Robb from OMB here in case there were any additional questions from this committee. Thank you for coming as well. We appreciate it. And seeing no, wow, that was quick. Seeing no further business to come before this committee, we will adjourn at 10:20.